Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just pray for a moment. Father, we love you and we thank you for this day that we can come together to hear your word, to honor you and glorify your holy name. We thank you that you are here in this house and we're excited for today and what you're doing in our lives. In your wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. Hallelujah. Well, good morning. Good morning. My name is Terry Hill, and I am the I am the Next Steps pastor here at Wellspring. And let's see, I have been here for about 8 months, and it has gone by so fast. I am enjoying the opportunity to be a part of this leadership team that God has placed here and to get to know all of you guys. As the Next Steps pastor, I get the opportunity to help everyone who walks through these doors to find community, learn more about groups and volunteering and baptism. And if we have not met yet, I would love the opportunity to get to know you. So I'm typically at the Next Steps area, which is located to the right of our coffee. So stop by and say hello. I would love to meet you. Well, I am married to a wonderful man named Paul Hill. We have been married for about 12 years, and he's from Trinidad, so he lives in the Caribbean. So I never dreamed that when I would have to go see family, I would get to travel to the Caribbean, and so love that. And we have two beautiful girls. Sophie is 8, and Isabella is 5, and they are my world. I just love being their mom. Well, how many of you have a closet? Raise your hand if you have a closet in your house, all right? Now, we have a picture that we'll show you of a closet. Now, raise your hand again if your closet is as clean and organized as this one. Okay, hi. After service, come and see me because I want to know how you keep your closet this clean and organized because mine does not look like this. And I could not show you a picture today because it's really messy. But come and find me afterwards. Well, around 4 years ago, I found my closet to be my place of escape. It was where I would go to run and hide and escape what was happening in my life, in my circumstances. You know, when I finished graduate school, I had all these plans for my life. I was thinking I would head into my dream job, and I had all these plans about how life would go. And when I finished school, I put my resume out and I started heading into different interviews. And for months, nothing opened up for me. I heard nothing back from all the places I had interviewed with. And I was so confused. And I went back and thought about a scripture that my grandfather had given me. And it was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 that says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take." See, I was confused because I had all these plans for my life. And you know what I did? I did what you do if you love coffee and you love people. I went and I worked at Starbucks, right? I mean, yes, it was exciting. I mean, I was the person who signed up for the morning shift because I love to get there at 5:15 and get everything ready and get the coffee ready. And then those first customers that came in, I wanted to be there to greet them because I wanted to put a smile on their face. You know, just between us, I kind of made it a competition, too, because there were some people who come in that didn't look so happy. So I was like, let me see who I can make smile today, right? Because one thing about me, I am a people person. I love people. I wake up thinking, who do I get to hang out with? Who do I get to enjoy life with? Well, it was after I was working at Starbucks, and I started thinking about the scripture that my grandfather had given me. I remember that we talked about that there was a common way of living our life. And that common way is that we at times will trust in ourselves. We trust in ourselves to write the script and to write the outcomes of how our life will go. We trust in what we see. We trust in what we think. We trust in what we're familiar with. And we try and control life. But the uncommon way is trusting in Jesus, full stop, period, the end. The uncommon way is trusting in our Savior. Trusting and knowing that we can place our lives in His capable hands and know that He is in control no matter what our circumstances and no matter what our situations will say. That we can trust in His word and the truth of His word and in His goodness and in His faithfulness and in his loving kindness. We can trust and know that His arms are wrapped around us, comforting us no matter what happens in life. So, as I was working at Starbucks, an opportunity came along my path for me to go and work for my dad at his church. He was a pastor. And the opportunity was to become the college and connections pastor. Now, this is not something I had ever thought of for my life. I never saw myself in full-time ministry. You know, I loved the church. I grew up serving in the church. And at the time, I was teaching a Bible study for college students, and I was making iced coffee for our coffee ministry. All right. No, that's not good. I mean, I can do that here, you know, but just saying. I was making iced coffee for the coffee ministry. You can tell I love coffee. But I had never thought of working at a church. And I went back, and I thought about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I was like, okay, God, I trust You. And I took the step. And I moved towards Jesus, and I moved towards that open door that He had for me. And while I was there, I spent 11 and a half years there at the church. I met my husband. We had our two beautiful girls. We had life. We had community. We had friends. You guys, we had a Trader Joe's. I mean, come on. I was like, I specifically would meet my mom to drop off my girls there so I could go in Trader Joe's, which happened to be next to a Starbucks. But we had a Trader Joe's, and I loved it. I loved my life. I mean, I knew where to go and get my car fixed. I knew my doctors, my pediatricians. You get what I'm saying, right? Life was full. Life was good. And I was safe. I was safe. Well, in 2019, an opportunity came to Paul and I to consider him teaching at Coastal Carolina. He teaches statistics. Now, I can't tell you anything else but that. It's statistics. I do not understand math. That is why God allowed me to marry a man. Yes. Let's not think too much about that one. Who loves math, right? And so... So a job came along, and again, I remembered Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and we said yes to moving here to Myrtle Beach. Paul moves here in August of 2019. The girls and I come in November of 2019, and it's an 8-hour drive from Florida to here. And while we were on that drive, I remember thinking, oh my goodness, what did I just say yes to doing? Why did I say yes to doing this? I'm leaving everything I have ever known. And you know what I was really leaving? I was leaving the grandparents. I mean, how many of you know that you can just drop your kids off at the grandparents and go on a date anytime you want to with your husband? I was leaving my family and my parents. We drove in on a Sunday night, and Monday morning rolls on, and Paul wakes up, and he goes to work, and I'm sitting at the kitchen table with our girls, and all of a sudden, it just hits me. I don't even know where there's a grocery store. I have no idea where to go get food. I could be living anywhere. I don't know anything about Myrtle Beach. And all of a sudden, I started to create this narrative in my head, and here's what the narrative said. I will be okay again once my life can look like it just did. I will be okay then, but I will not be okay until my life, right, doesn't look like it did. So from November until February, I was on a mission to control every single thing about my world. We got to find a church. We got to find a school. I got to know the area. I was on mission to control. And how many of you guys know what happened in March of 2020? Yeah, full stop. I can stop speaking now. We know where this is going. But COVID hit, and we had just found a school for my daughter. We were still, you know, traveling around, checking out churches at the time. We'd met a few people in our neighborhood, but nothing really substantial. No real friendships quite yet at that moment. And when COVID hit, my world stopped, and everything that I was trying to control was no longer in my grasp. So what would I do? Paul was upstairs in the study. He was learning how to teach from home. And I would go out and put my girls in that red wagon, and we'd either go around the block or we'd go to Market Common, go for a rag and ride, and then we'd come home. And when I got home, I'd put a TV show on for them. I would go and get into the very back corner of my closet, and I would cry, and I would cry, and I would cry. Yes, this clean closet. Yes, let's just pretend, right? In the very back corner, right here. And I would cry because, you guys, I was so lonely. I was so depressed. I was not happy. That narrative in my head that I will be okay when things can look like it once did was no longer there, right? And so I remember COVID hit in March, and this had gone on for about 2 months, and now it's about May. And one May, I'm sitting in there, and I had just finished crying. And I got real quiet, and I can remember like it was yesterday. I said these words. I said, "Jesus, help. Jesus, help." I was so empty. I was so exhausted. I didn't know anything else to do. And you know, it was in that moment that I felt the presence of Jesus in that room. I felt him wrap his arms around me. I felt him holding me. And I felt him, his gentle whispers. And he started to tell me, "Terry, it's okay. You're going to be okay. I want to give you permission to hope again." See, I had been walking around in this posture full of hopelessness. And I was reacting to what I could see, what I could control. And he's like, "My daughter, I just want to give you some hope. I love you, and I've got good plans for you." And Jeremiah 29:11 came to mind, which says, "I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for good and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope." You know, right there in that moment, I remember I had been crouching down and like in this posture, and I remember I made a decision to stand up. I moved those clothes aside, and I decided to look to Jesus. I fixed my eyes on Jesus. I changed my posture as I stood up. And what did I do? I looked up to him, and then I leaned into him. And when we lean into something, what do? We have to move towards it. And when we lean in, like I'm leaning on this podium, what is this doing? It's holding me up. And that's what happens with our Heavenly Father. We lean into him, and he holds us up. We can rest in him. I looked up, I leaned in, and I listened to him. I listened to him whisper Jeremiah 29:11. I listened to him tell me that I can have hope in him, and I can have joy in him, and I can have peace in him, because it's in him that I can have life and life more abundantly. And then I started to praise. As I listened to him, I started to praise, and I started to just thank him, just as we did a few moments ago all over this house, right? In gratitude to our God who has done so many wonderful things in our life. And guess what? God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And what he did for you then, he will do it now, and he will do it in your present, because that's who he is, right? He never changes, and his word never changes. And when he speaks, it is truth. The word of God is truth. And then the last thing I did is I decided to live. I decided to live. I remember I walked out of that closet that day and I said, I am going to live full of you, Jesus. I'm going to live full of your word, live full of hope, live full of life. And here's the thing. It wasn't like I walked out of that closet and I opened up my front door and I had a line of people waiting to be my friend. Like, pick me, choose me, I'm here, I want to be friends with you. That didn't happen. It wasn't like the next Sunday we walked into the church that would be our home church for forever, right? Which I'm so glad we found this church, you guys. But Wellspring is, yes. All in God's timing. Okay, but anyways, so it wasn't like any of that happened, but what had happened? What happened? I aligned myself with Jesus, right? See, we all have this problem at times, and here's the problem, is that our happiness can depend on our happenings. And happiness is external. Happiness is fleeting. I mean, you guys, it is Memorial Day weekend, right? You might have some plans this weekend. You might go to the beach. Maybe you're going to go boating with some friends. Maybe you have some barbecue, some restaurants, some gay nights. And sitting here, you're kind of happy thinking about your plans. But what happens? Tuesday morning, it's going to roll around, and maybe you got to go to work. Kids have school. Not quite happy thinking about that. But happiness is external. Happiness is fleeting. And I had spent months reacting to my happiness. But here's what I want to tell you today. That while happiness is dependent on our happenings, we have to think about what happens when happiness fades, right? What happens when the ups and downs of life happen, when it gets hard, when those 3 a.m. phone calls happen or the unexpected happens and we're confused and we just don't know what to do and where to go and why is this happening and God, I don't understand. What do we do? Well, here's the answer. Happiness does depend on happenings, but joy is dependent on Jesus. We can have joy with no matter what we face because we have Jesus Christ inside of us. Joy is internal and joy is rooted in our relationship. We can walk in that uncommon joy with no matter how hard it might be. We have joy because we have Jesus. And joy is present because of Jesus's presence. You know, my little girls sometimes will get have trouble going to sleep. And they might have something they're thinking about that's making them anxious or worried. Maybe they've had a bad dream. And they'll come downstairs and they'll get Paul and I. And Paul and I will go up to their room. They'll get back in their bed. They get their little frenzies, their little stuffed animals. And Paul and I sit in the chair, and it never fails. Within 5 minutes, those girls have fallen to sleep. And why is that? It's because mom and daddy's presence is in the room. Mom and daddy are sitting there, and it's the same way with Jesus, right? His presence is in the room. And all we have to do is say, Jesus, help me. Jesus, I need some wisdom. Jesus, I don't understand. And we can be at peace because of his presence. You know, we're in this series called Uncommon. And we just talked about the common way of life is that when life is good, it's good. But when it's bad, it's bad. And how do we have happiness when it's bad? And we're here to say that the uncommon way, the uncommon joy is because we have Jesus. And when Jesus was on this earth, he was uncommon. He came in and he disrupted what was common, right? So we can have that joy because of him. You know, Rick Warren has this quote that says, joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life, the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every situation. No, I go back to my closet, see, what did I choose to do that day? I chose to change my posture. I chose to look up, to lean in, to listen, and to live out the word of God. I had a quiet confidence that God was in control. You know, it's so important that we shape our worries into prayers. You know, in this life, we're going to have trouble. We're going to have worries. We're going to have anxiety. But it's so important that we know what to do when those worries start to come. What is our response when we're suddenly worried with something? We need to shape it into a prayer. You know, Paul says in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your heart and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. I love this passage because it says that we can talk to God about anything. There's nothing too big and there's nothing too small because God cares about the tiniest detail of our lives. You know, I was in Target the other day, and I had to buy a birthday gift for somebody. And you guys, I kid you not, I spent 20 minutes trying to figure out what to buy. And I paced, and I roamed, and I looked, and I would pick up, and I'd put back down. And I suddenly got worried, and I got anxious. We're talking about a birthday gift. A birthday gift! That gives you a little insight into my mind, right? But here's what happened. All of a sudden, I stopped right in the middle of the clothing section. And I said, what am I doing? And I stopped. And I said, God help. You know this person better than I do. You care about them more than I do. You love them. What would they like? And I kid you not, it was like, oh, here is the gift. And I bought it. And I think they liked it. But what did I do? Shape your worries into prayers. Apostle Paul, that man named Paul we talk about so much, right? He goes on to say in Philippians 4, 4, and 5, he says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you're considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. You know what I find fascinating is that when Paul wrote this, he was sitting in prison. Let's just think about that for a moment. He was in prison when he wrote this. I mean, how can a man sitting in prison tell us to rejoice, to have joy? I think it's because before he even took a step into that prison cell, he had already decided and already determined that he was going to depend on Jesus no matter what. And he didn't see the walls of those prison cells, but he saw Jesus, and he saw Jesus in the midst of that circumstance. You know, and we all have an active choice every day to choose Jesus Christ. And people are watching us, right? People are looking at us, how we're walking through things, how we're going through things. I've had people say with things we've walked through in life, how are you okay? And I'm like, I have Jesus, and he's enough. And he cares about me and loves me, and he cares about you. You know, Paul goes on to say in Philippians, Paul teaches us an important lesson, and here's the lesson. Our inner attitudes do not have to reflect our outward circumstances. Paul was full of joy because he knew that no matter what happened to him, Jesus Christ was with him. Paul goes on to say in Philippians 4, 8 and 9, he says, now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. I want you to do this, and this is so important. I want you to fix your thoughts. I want to stop there for a moment. It's so important in this life that we think about what we are thinking about. That we think about what we're thinking about. You know, I've had times where I'm like, God, help me to acknowledge when I'm leaning into a worry, when I'm leaning into a fear. I was washing my dishes the other day, And I started getting anxious over something, and I started to think about the worst case scenario. Have you guys ever done that? Maybe it's just me. But I started thinking about that worst case scenario, and as I started doing it, I started washing those dishes a little bit harder, you know. And I was getting into it, and I was mumbling, and what if this happens, and what if that happens, and what if they don't like this, and what am I going to do? And I was in that moment, and I was living in that moment. And my little five-year-old comes up and says, "Mommy, Mommy, Mommy, are you okay? Are you okay?" And I literally snapped me out of it. And I was like, oh my goodness, how quickly did I start living in that fear, living in that worry, and living out a scenario that hadn't even happened yet? What was I doing? I was borrowing a worry. So we got to think about what we're thinking about. We got to fix our thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about these things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And here's what Paul is saying. He says, keep putting into practice. What he is saying is, don't give up. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep putting into practice. Keep counting it all joy. Keep trusting in God. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me and everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. I love this. The God of peace. Right now, I want you to know the God of peace and the God of joy is with us here. His presence is here. Lastly, we read in this letter that he wrote to the church at Philippi, to his brothers and sisters there. He says, "Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything." You know, this wasn't the first time Paul was in prison. He had been in prison before. He had gone through hardships and trials. But Paul also knew what it was like to not have to have any needs, to have everything he ever needed to be taken care of. He had gone through every emotion. He had gone through every circumstance. And he was telling his brothers and sisters at Philippi, he's like, "Listen, you guys, listen. I know how to live on almost nothing with everything. I've learned the secret to living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, whether plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives us strength." And in Jesus, we can take our next steps. It's in Jesus when the struggle is so hard. All we have to do is just take a step towards him. And just like he did for me that day in the closet, he wants to wrap his arms around us and love on us as a heavenly father does. Because he has good plans for us. And you know, today, you might be saying, "Terry, that all sounds really good. I would love to have and walk in that uncommon joy, right? That peace. You don't know what I'm going through. You don't know what I've lived in. You don't know what I am experiencing. You don't know how hard it is." Well, you know what I want to tell you today? Our God knows. Our God sees you. He sees every detail of your life. He cares about every single thing that you are going through. And God loves you today because you are his son as his and his daughter. As Christ followers, we belong to Jesus. And I love this passage in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Let us strip off every weight. Let us strip off the anxiety. Let us strip off the fear. Let us strip off the worry. Let us strip off the weariness, the weariness that we're carrying, the burdens, the heaviness. Let us strip it off. And let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. And we do this by keeping what? Our eyes on Jesus, keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. And I love this, you guys, because of the joy that awaited him. He endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. And what I want to say is this, because of the joy that awaited him, I want all of you to know here today that you are Jesus's joy. You are his joy. As he went to the cross, as those crown of thorns were put on his head, as he endured that pain, he thought of you and he had joy. As he was whipped, he said your name and he had joy. As he carried that cross on his bare back, he thought of you and he was full of joy. Now don't tell me that's not uncommon. He had joy as he made his way to the cross that day. And he died and he rose the third day so that we as rescued people can have a relationship with him. I mean, yes, it's Jesus, you guys. He loves you, and he's excited about you today. He's excited about your future. He's excited about the plans he has for you, because you are his joy. And we can all say, man, we have Jesus, and he is enough. Amen? Amen. Amen. Well, here's what I want to do as I'm getting ready to pray for us today. I'm going to ask all of you guys to bow your heads. Go ahead, let's bow our heads. And it might be that you are sitting in here today. And yeah, life is hard and you're walking through some things and it just seems like a struggle. Well, I want you to know that Jesus cares about you, and Jesus loves you, and Jesus is for you today, and right now in this moment, Jesus is wrapping his arms around you. His presence is here, and where his presence is, there's fullness of joy. And just like I had to do in my closet that day, I had to take a step. I had to move towards Jesus. I had to look up, lean in, listen, and live. Today, if this is you, all across this room, I just want you to take a step, and I just want you to raise your hand. If you're saying, yes, today is the day I am changing my posture. Today is the day I am reaching out to Jesus. Today is the day I am looking up. I am leaning in. I am listening, and I am living out that common joy. If that is you, raise your hand right now. It is just you and Jesus. Yes, he sees you. Yes, he loves you. Yes, he cares about you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Hallelujah. God, when we are weak, we know that you are strong. When we are lonely, we know that you are our comforter. When we feel unable to keep moving forward, we thank you that you are the one who gives us strength and you help us to persevere. Please remind us, Jesus, when we feel overwhelmed, that you are with us. Thank you that today we have your joy, and today the joy of the Lord is our strength. Refresh our souls today. Give us rest. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.